Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin L, Learning, with our guest, Judy Zarek, episode 155.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
It is Sunday early afternoon. I'm home from two masses where I deaconed, and you went to the 9 o'clock mass with me, dear.
I did. And I guess we're going back in an hour or so to...
I'm going to do the blessing of the animals.
Bandit?
You hear that, Bandit?
Hear that?
Oh, look at him looking up. Yes, we're talking about you.
Yeah, you're going to go get blessed. Boy, do you need blessed.
I know how he reacts in the evening when I do holy water and we get some on him. He acts like he's possessed, so I don't know how he's going to act with all those other animals out there. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's what did our daughter say? It's sort of like controlled chaos.
Yes.
15 or 20 dogs and some cats who are hissing and frightened, and somebody brings a rabbit. And I told the pastor no rattlesnakes this year.
There was a couple at Mass this morning who are part-timers up here in our little mountain town. They have a permanent residence down the valley, but they also have a place up here, and they were up here this weekend, obviously, because I saw them at Mass. Mm-hmm. But when they were excited to find out that we were doing Blessing the Animals today because they missed it in their own parish last week. Actually, I think they had it yesterday, and they missed it because they were up here. So they were, and they have their grand dog with them.
Their grand dog,
yeah.
Okay.
Their grand dog puppy with them, and so she may bring him, him or her over.
And here I have prepared, you know, a little mini homily. Do you know how much of that anybody's going to be able to pay attention
to? No, we'll be too busy trying to keep our dogs under control or our whatever animals we bring.
I wish I was more like St. Francis of Assisi, where the animals would all pay attention to me and they would nod their heads if I made a point.
Another couple I asked coming out of church if they were going to, if they had pets, and they said, yes, they had two dogs, and she's going to bring them over, and they go, no. I said, one dog is very ornery, and I said, well, sounds like he needs blessing.
Yeah, right. Hey, dear, our guest is the lovely, charming, vivacious host of the segment on American Catholic Radio where she interviews guests and they share a bit of their faith walk.
I am anxious for this interview. I was excited when you were making contact with her because, I actually got her book.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I've been listening to her on American Catholic Radio. It's been a staple on my iPod for quite a few years now.
For me too. I think it started way back in Colorado, and I loved the stories that they found to bring out on American Catholic Radio. If you are not familiar with that podcast, we do recommend it to you, and there's always good faith value, nourishment for your faith from, I won't say A to Z because that's our slogan, but it was really great of Judy when I made outreach to her. She just jumped right in. Oh, she'd love to come on our show, and she looked, she told me after a couple emails, she said that she looked at our website. She went back over our list of shows, and she said, hey, you've interviewed some of the same people that I have. So that made me feel good.
And she gave us permission to share her email address with our listeners because she wants to hear from anybody who has any stories or ideas to share with her.
Great, great. And don't forget us, too, if you have any stories. I might just say to you by way of a little bit of a tease, the next vitamin that we have coming up is a story that we found once again in our own parish.
Yes.
And we'll obviously have more about that in the next show. This is the segment that we call Catholic Vitamin P for Prattle. And you were doing something about CBS Sunday Morning before we started.
Oh, I was just going to say, how'd you like that intro I did? Episode 155. instead of 155.
Well, I guess
and it reminded me of Charles Osgood on CBS Sunday Morning, who always says 2012 or 2011 or 20 whatever, instead of saying 2012.
Oh, okay.
People have given him grief about that, but that's kind of a trademark thing with him. So,
getting off of the subject of faith for just a moment, I wonder if any of our listeners ever watch CBS Sunday Morning.
Boy, that talk about being a favorite. We have been watching that for years and years, way back when Charles Kuralt was the host.
I must say that there are some topics that they bring up that I don't agree with philosophically or morally, but they do a lot of wonderful things about scenery and travel and artists, musicians, and things like that. So overall, I give it pretty much thumbs up.
Yeah.
What else do we have, dear?
I was going to mention that we went to a luau.
Oh, the Hawaiian dinner that the Knights put on. I was waiting for you to. Okay, right. All right. Yes.
You wonder what I was saying, huh?
So the Knights of Columbus.
Of which you're a part.
I am. Our new Grand Knight had a contact of someone who had lived for a long, long time in Hawaii, and he made arrangements to put together about 125, I didn't hear the final count, but about 125 lau lau pork dinners, and they were made over in Hawaii and flown over on an airplane. I can't imagine what they paid to have all this
must
done.
Have been, must have been dry ice sort of thing or something.
I don't know. And then they landed in the greater Los Angeles area, and then someone...
I think this guy that was the friend drove over there and picked all these up.
Oh, my heavens. So we had a big crowd last night, and besides the lau lau pork, which was wrapped in, what was it, banana leaves?
Mm-hmm.
We had barbecued...
kind of ribs.
Ribs, yeah.
Kind of like ribs, yeah.
Right. And we had rice. We had...
a couple different cold salads, like macaroni salad and something that was similar, I guess, to coleslaw. It was very, very good. And then, some of the knights' wives got together, and they spent all day Saturday, I think, baking pineapple upside-down cakes. They made 14 or 15 pineapple upside-down cakes, and that was dessert.
Yeah, it was really neat. In between the two masses that I did, excuse my voice, in between the two masses that I did this morning, I took communion over to Michelle at the senior care center where she works. Can you imagine after the day that she had or the week, you know, that she had ahead
she
of this?
She was one of the ones helping to make cakes and decorating, and her kids helped. And
so she was working this morning, and I took communion over to her, and I thanked her.
I figured that's where you went, because you never showed up for coffee and donuts in between the two masses like you sometimes do, because I go over after 9 o'clock, and then eventually you will come in, but you didn't, so I figured you must have taken communion.
May I just say, dear friends, to end this segment of prattle, if there is a sugar calorie treat to be found, Dee will be there. She's a great member of the... Thanks, everybody. That's our first segment. We'll be back.
This is Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. At dinner, I mentioned this week's topic for Catholic Vitamins was learning. Suddenly, my tween and teen children and my husband were saying, "You have to tell people what you learned at the police department." "This segment is about missionaries I've met and America's missions," I said. But they insisted, "Tell them about the police department." My husband started giving me examples, and my daughter said, "I don't know how to say this, but the fact that you worked there is, well," and she pumped her fist into the air. "What's that?" I laughed. She said, "You know, it's cool, tough." The Holy Spirit works through loved ones. So I did dishes, watched the presidential debate, and then tried to sleep, wondering what the mission connection might be with my years as a community service officer. I ended up back on the couch writing because my brain was racing, thinking of possible connections. When I was 17, a friend told me she was leaving her part-time position at our Chicago Area Police Department because she was moving to Arizona. "You can probably have my job," she said. "I'll put in a good word for you." "Oh, no," I told her. I had heard for a year about her tough job, but just for fun, I mentioned my friend's invitation at dinner. My family laughed. "The police would never hire you." I was only 5 feet tall and weighed less than 100 pounds. I was quiet, a lover of 19th century literature. I'd only just gotten my driver's license. I did not want my friend's job, but I didn't appreciate being laughed at and told I couldn't do something. Before I knew it, I was wearing a police uniform and learning 10 codes so I could use the police radio strapped to my waist. Lessons I learned? Walk tall, even if officers laugh when they see you bring a telephone book to the squad car. Do whatever's needed to see over obstacles, like the steering wheel, and get clear visibility for the road ahead, even if your back does hurt a little. Take heed to drive slowly and be observant, or you'll lose the parade. Keep equipment fully operational with screws tightened, or you'll drive through town with the siren horn dangling off the roof by its wires after visiting the car wash. Don't be too mad when the car wash guys play the same old trick, turning the front flashing lights on, even when you find yourself pulling people over on the road and not knowing why. Don't be hard on yourself during your first gig directing parking for the town's free summer concert. No matter if the rows aren't perfect, it was a hill, it was dark, there were trees, you did your best. Smile when a coworker buys you a 2-inch-tall clay penguin at a craft fair because you've turned a little blue directing traffic on that drizzly, frigid fall day. Keep that penguin through the years as a reminder of an inspired act of human kindness. Don't, for heaven's sake, pick up the habit of bad language. Even if certain people around you are spouting it, you might find yourself later in adulthood popping out with a doozy under duress. Do enjoy the ride when heaven blesses you with a patrol partner with an upbeat personality and a rich, operatic voice. Join in the harmony when he sings to while the hours away. Try not to disdain another person's fear, even if he is a grown man who asks you to catch the ferocious creature flapping around his basement, and it turns out to be a sparrow. Acting confident is half the battle, even if you are terrified of dogs and you're asked to chase 4 Great Danes who have escaped their kennel. Appearances can be deceiving. Multiple Great Danes do fit in a squad car headed to the Humane Society. Even when reason would dispute this, miracles do happen. When officers are scanning photos of serious accidents and car wrecks, don't look out of morbid curiosity or to prove you're tough. Those images will haunt you years later. Protect your eyes. Be prepared to have coworkers ask why you believe in chastity. Look them in the eyes and feel honored to explain church teachings. When you're asked to babysit the 4-year-old son of a prostitute and heroin addict, stay strong. When you go to the jail cell to beg the arrested woman to not carry on so that she is upsetting her child, don't mind if she yells at you. She did apologize later on the way to Cook County Hospital and say she was sorry she scared you. Never forget the child, nor the harrowing pictures he drew with crayons while you babysat. Do all you can to promote healthy families and children for the rest of your life. Pray, pray, pray. Pray to retain innocence amidst stress and adversity. To retain health and good humor when it snows, your boots leak, the car heater doesn't work, and your toes are half frozen. Pray when you find the squad car sliding into the train crossing when the crossing signal is down and the train is coming and the treads aren't catching on the ice. Pray when you don't know what you're doing, when someone irate is screaming at you for a situation you aren't responsible for and can't change, when you're feeling very young, ill-equipped, ignorant, or ill-treated. Pray when you've made someone cry because of a stupid action. Pray and thank God when a boss or coworkers treat you with respect and appreciation. Pray when you celebrate each little success and when you see miracles of kindness unfold in the faces and hearts of those around you. Give God the credit when you find yourself trusting Him and putting aside fear for maturity. So, those are only some things I learned in my 6 years of working for the police. I can see how those years prepared me for my later work of visiting Catholic missionaries across the United States. I wasn't even a full-fledged police officer, and I found my job very tough. I learned to love and admire those incredibly brave officers. And later, when I met missionaries and saw conditions they often labored under and the vocations they lived, day in, day out, I had a whole new batch of heroes to admire. For courage, adaptability, and toughness, priests, religious, and lay missionaries really do take the cake, and a vast majority of those I have met have kept their faith and their senses of humor through it all. That's what I've learned. Do you see any connections?
Thank you, Mariana. Oh, did you see me bouncing when her music started?
Yes. It sounded like something out of a disco movie or something.
I can't sit still when there's good music.
Well, I know, Well, it kind of goes with Catholic vitamins, doesn't it?
Yes. I'm taking my vitamins. Hey, I just wanted to say briefly that I had a nice surprise this week. We got to meet one of our Facebook friends in person. It's nice when that happens.
It is, yes.
Deborah Shaben, formerly of Florida, now living back in her home state of Nebraska, was passing through our little old town here on her way to Phoenix to visit another friend.
And we happened to meet up with her just at the right moment.
We're not going to tell, are we?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, we were going to swear, have Deborah swear she could not say anything about...
If Judy Zurich hears this, she'll never do anything with us again.
So Deborah comes into town. She calls me on my cell phone, and she said she was stopped at a gas station north of town to filling her tank. And so I gave her directions to where we were.
We were having fish tacos Friday.
And a little eatery in town. And so I gave her directions to come and meet us. So by the time she got down there, we had finished, and we were just leaving. As we were just coming out the door as she appeared in front of us in the parking lot. But we laughed when we told her that we only had a few minutes. We were going to say hi and give her a hug. And then we had to go to church to do evening prayer and benediction.
Right.
Because it was all day holy hour. All day adoration.
Adoration. Uh-huh.
And I started laughing. I says, Deborah, you cannot put on Facebook that you met Deacon Tom and Dee coming out of a bar before we went to adoration.
The Buffalo Bar and Grill. We were there for the grill. We were not there for the bar. All I had was
they
Pepsi.
They do good fish.
I know.
Fish tacos.
Well, speaking of doing good things, Justin Stroh has provided us with some wonderful evangelization mini segments over the last maybe year or so. And he's back with us for this show, but we want to let people know, our listeners, that Justin and his wife, Lynette, will be appearing this coming Thursday on EWTN's
October 11th
Life on the Rock program. So if you are able to watch the program live, please do so to meet Justin and his wife in person.
He said they'll be sharing about youth ministry and new evangelization.
And if you can't, make sure you record it. So that is this coming Thursday. And speaking of Justin, here he is.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. It is not good for man to be alone. And so God created a deep sleep upon Adam. A deep sleep where Adam enters into a contemplative state and receives from God the great mystery of woman. And woman is created from his side. Woman, the one who is open to everything. And man, who when he wakes, remembers and says, this one is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. And Adam sees in his presence the full image and likeness of God. What a great gift to have been the first man and first woman created. And what a great fall to have fallen from the intimacy that they had with God Almighty. From the beginning of creation to now, man is crying out, is looking for that intimacy. We are asking the Lord to bless us all the days of our lives, yet we know that there is something missing. And that something missing is the rejection of what was given to Adam and Eve in the garden. Fruitfulness, faithfulness, freedom. To be a fruitful vine, to experience God's providence, giving us everything that we need in all the situations we have, especially in the sufferings that we have. For Christ, who is the great suffering servant, is the one origin, the one whom we are headed toward, the one whom we are in, the one whom we have come from, our brother, incarnated in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the second Eve. And Jesus, the second Adam, reveals to us the glory to which we are called. This is why divorce has to have no place in our lives. No place. For it was not this way when God created us. He created us to express the unity of his Trinity. And only because the hardness of our hearts does this continue to go on in the world today. And of course, that's why Satan is attacking marriage everywhere. Because he wants the image and likeness of God expunged from human history. But that is not what is happening. What is happening? Jesus Christ is rising up in the body of Christ, and the children of those who have remained faithful to him are rising up and will be the ones to bring the church back, not just back, but into a whole new glory, awaiting, greeting Christ in his second coming. It is coming, it is on the horizon, it is before us, it is in us before, as we receive Holy Communion every Sunday, he gives it to us. The mission and the accomplishment, all in the person of Jesus Christ. Here is the most important thing I've learned in the last couple of weeks, that when I make a decision, I must act on it. And when I act on it, the funnel of God's grace strengthens me within to be able to carry out what it is I've been called to do, if it is a good that he has called me to do. And in carrying that grace out, he strengthens me for the very next step. And my call is to be open to that next step. Not everything is revealed right out in the distance, but in the immediate and in the short term. And as I walk further into his grace and his favor, that which was in the distance, that was out of focus, comes into focus. It's blurry, it's out there, I can see it's out there. Yet what he is calling me to do is have faith and believe in him, and he will reveal to me what it is I need right now. So a new evangelist, see that blurry future out there that you might be a little afraid of, that you might be wondering, I don't know if that's really for me or not. Start taking steps of faith. What are you waiting for? The entire world to fall apart?
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Dear friends and listeners to Catholic Vitamins, there is a lady that I've had my sights set on for quite a while, in the best sense of the words. Judy Zarek is a producer for Franciscan Media. She's been on American Catholic Radio for seemingly a long, long time, because I've been listening for a lot of years, and I've enjoyed her segments. And Judy and her publishers were kind enough to send us a copy of her book, Moved by Faith, Stories from American Catholic Radio. Judy, I want to welcome you so much to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you, Deacon Tom. It is an honor for me to be speaking with you.
Oh,
I appreciate this.
How kind of you. Judy, I've been a big fan, and there's just so many of these stories that are wonderful and touching. But before we get into your book, let's back up. And just a few years ago, when Judy was real young, tell us about your family of origin.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago.
Good.
So I actually grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana. And my father was Catholic. My mom was not, and went to Catholic grade school. I was the youngest of six and was very tired of being everybody's little sister, so they all went to private Catholic schools, and I struck out on my own and went to a public high school, just because I was kind of tired of that, and I was interested in the theater and different things that the public high school had, so I went there. In college, I kind of considered myself sometimes people call it a revert, kind of you come back to your faith. I got very involved with Campus Crusade for Christ and, you know, a lot of non-denominational groups, never leaving the church, but always wondering why the Catholic Church wasn't doing the same kinds of things. And when I was at college, I remember going to the priest at the church that was right next to where I lived, and I said, how come there aren't any Bible studies, or can somebody get a Bible study started or something? And the priest looked at me and said, why don't you start it? And I thought, well, I'm not qualified. I don't want to do that. So I kind of went back and got back into the non-denominational group of friends that I had, and again, never left the church, but just really got fed so much more scripturally from my other friends. And kind of after college, I met my husband actually at the Newman Center at my college, and together we kind of explored as adults our faith, because he grew up Catholic as well, and I kind of felt like I was a Vatican II boomer, where Vatican II came and the church didn't really know what to teach. So like in my Catholic grade school, they didn't really teach anything, and I felt like I missed a lot. So I spent a lot of my adult years really just kind of seeking out a lot of information, a lot of things about evangelization that was still very new to the Catholic Church.
Okay, so those you led us into your young adult years. I mean, you're still there, but where did Franciscan Media and American Catholic Radio, how did that come about?
Well, when I started working in the business, I got my degree in telecommunications and radio and TV in Spanish, and I got a job in corporate video. It was not very fulfilling. It was, you know, commercials, it was product introductions and things like that. I was pregnant with my second child. I have four children now. When I got a call from a friend who was looking to start a video department at what was then St. Anthony Messenger Press. And I said, well, it's not the best time to be doing something, starting a new job. I'm getting ready to have another baby. But it was the ideal job of a lifetime. It was something where I could use the skills that I had learned in school and in my corporate world and my faith life. So I said, okay, kind of jumped on board. Started working with Father Greg Friedman here at St. Anthony Messenger. And then it's evolved over the years. As you know, the media, new media has taken hold. We got into radio. And American Catholic Radio, we started, it was about 8 years ago. I can't believe that you've been listening for so long. it's hard to know that anybody's out there sometimes when we produce these things. You think, does anybody hear this? But we started about 8 years ago, and it started because the USCCB gave us a grant to produce this, and their intention was that after a few years, they would pull back and we would try to fund it ourselves through advertising or in whatever way. But they actually continued funding us for several more years after that. Only the last couple of years where they've really pulled back, and we've had to do a lot more work with sales and things so that we can continue producing it. But that's kind of how that all started.
Okay, great. Well, I have been with you a long time, and I don't want to just yet jump into the book and its stories. You have such a delightful interviewing style, and you bring out such wonderful nuggets from the people that you interview. Our Catholic vitamin for this show is vitamin L for learning. Have you learned a lot from the people that you've interviewed?
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, when we first started doing this program, my segment was only 2 or 3 minutes long. It's now about 5 minutes long. But I remember thinking, we have 52 programs that we have to do a year. And I thought, how am I going to find 52 people living out their faith that are interesting? You know, you think, oh, you know, you know, people in the pews, you got... But I was just constantly amazed. You know, I'd be looking for stories or get a story from a colleague or something about this person is doing that. And then when I would call them up to talk to them, I was just constantly amazed at the depth of their faith, the depth of their trust. And yes, I was learning stuff all the time. And I think I kind of drove my family crazy, because I would come home from work and say, I talked to somebody else that was doing this and that, and I, you know, well, I think I should be trying to do this or that. And it just got me so inspired. It motivated me to want to go do things. But so often I realized that when I was talking to these people, it was very simple. It wasn't this heady theology of why they were doing what they were doing. So much of it was just trusting in the Lord, taking one step at a time and answering the call to do something. So yes, I've always been learning, and I continue to learn from the people that I interview.
Well, our small, very small contribution to new media evangelization has sort of a parallel to the work that you've been doing on Catholic Vitamins. We have just been blessed with bishops and priests and evangelists and singers, and you were kind enough to say that that we've interviewed here some of the people that you've been able to reach. It's a great joy and a blessing, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where I just wanted to shout it from the mountaintops even. You know, it's very cliche about what these people are doing, because it seemed like so many of these people are like the unsung heroes. You know, they're doing so much of the work of the church, and yet nobody knows about it because they're humbly doing what they feel like God has called them to do. And yeah, I went back and I looked at the archives, your archives and your podcast, and I'm thinking, oh, I know this person, I know that person, and I talked to that person. I'm so glad that you've talked to them as well, and I'm so glad that I'm seeing them out there in different places, because I feel like they have such a wonderful message to get out there, because we're all so unique, and that's what's so amazing, is that it's like with the book, I feel like if anybody picks up the book, they're going to find that they connect with at least one of these stories, if not a lot of them, because it's just people like you and me in different situations in their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into Moved by Faith. Let's start with the basic question. Where did the idea come from?
The idea actually came from our book department here at Franciscan Media. We're kind of a multimedia company. We do a magazine and we publish books. And someone came to me with the idea about, you know, hey, how about doing a book about some of the interviews that you've done over the years? And I thought, great, how am I going to figure out which ones I'm going to put in the book? Because I wanted to put them all in. And I've done over 300 interviews, I think, in the past several years. And because they said there's only a certain number I could use. But the idea was that, and what I felt very strongly about was that, you know, you have a certain audience that listens to the radio, and you have certain people that read books, not necessarily the same group of people. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. I was just thrilled with the fact that I would be able to put these people's stories out there and hopefully gain a whole new audience and a new appreciation for what they've been doing in their lives that might motivate someone else. So that's where the book idea came from, and then it kind of grew into I took the interviews that I thought had the most diversity that would touch different hearts, and then I put them into chapters, separate chapters, and linked them to kind of a scriptural idea or a scriptural passage, because in my own mind, when I would be talking to these people, a lot of times I would be thinking, gosh, this is the gospel coming to life today. You know, if we don't think that the gospel is living and the good news is all around us all the time, then you haven't really paid attention, because these stories are bringing the story of Job to life. Everybody knows somebody that, you know, has had such a hard time. It's like Job. But yet all of these stories have an outcome where people have trusted the Lord and have come out on top at the end. The other thing I did was I added questions at the end of each chapter.
Right.
And these were questions that just kind of came from my own heart, as to, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, if I just read this story, how could I take that and how could that make a difference in my life? And so each chapter has one or two questions just for you to think about. It could be in a group, a small group. It could just be individually, to really try and make that story relevant to your own life.
Yeah, here in our area, we've been for a couple, 3 years now, part of a book study group. And this would just be ideal for 3-4 couples getting together and doing a story, as you said, and then exploring how it moves their heart or thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to cut you off. If you were going to,
okay.
Let me do this. In a second or two, I'm going to ask you if you have any favorite stories or anything that sticks in your heart. I want to say that a long time ago, and I mean quite a few years ago, I remember you doing the interview with a lady named Kelly Ann Lynch.
One of my favorite stories is a story about a woman named Kelly Ann Lynch. And it's what's makes the story even so amazing is that it's so dimensional. There's so many different dimensions to the story. Her family was very good friends with Father Michael Judge. And if you remember, he was the first person that was brought out of the Twin Towers after 9/11. He was a very good family friend. They'd known each other for a long time. And after that incident, she felt very, very lost. Her whole family felt very lost. I mean, he was a good friend. He was with her through the difficult time when her daughter was almost died. He was the kind of person that just oozed faith. You know, when I was talking to Kellyanne, she was just telling me that it was just the kind of faith that spread easily. You know, you walked into the room and you could just tell something was different. Well, Kelly was motivated from that incident to take a step. She decided she wanted to write a book about Father Michael because his life was so made such an impression on her. But what was even more interesting was her daughter, who was then now a teenager when this happened. Her birthday came up, and instead of having birthday presents, she surprised Kelly by saying, "You know what? I don't want presents. Why don't we give away something to the people who need it in remembrance of Father Michael?" You know, this was a young child. Out of the mouth of babes comes these amazing, you know, ideas. So they started this very simply with, you know, the friends that they had invited to their birthday party. You know, don't bring a gift. Bring something that we can share with other people. They started out by, they called their little charity that they continued every year, Blessed Bloomers. And what they did was they got people to donate underwear, because it's something that most people don't think about, that people in homeless shelters, that's one of those things that they don't have access to. So they put together these packets of underwear, socks, things like that, and then they made that an annual tradition. And I just thought that was beautiful, that Father Michael not only touched hundreds of firefighters, and he was a chaplain to the firefighters and people in New York, but he touched the lives of these people, this little girl, who has in turn touched the lives of all of her friends. I mean, it just kind of warms your heart to think about the fact that one person's life is such a ripple effect into so many other people's lives.
Well, I remember that story and being moved by it. Judy, I have another story that we have a little bit of a connection with. Just a few weeks ago on Catholic Vitamins, we interviewed a young, at that time, pregnant college student who had been apparently drugged or whatever at a party, and she became pregnant and decided to hold on to her child, even though she was being encouraged by quote medical professionals unquote to take something to end the pregnancy. And I remembered well, and then found in your book the story of Edel Carrick, who was sexually assaulted. I think this was a story from 5 years ago or more. You have a story.
Yeah, and in fact, when people ask me one of my favorites, that is one of the most moving stories I think of as well. Adel was, I guess it was what you would call date raped, and didn't say anything right away. She was embarrassed. She didn't know how her parents would take it. And because she did not say anything right away, they weren't able to press charges, but she did become pregnant. And, you know, she came from a family. In fact, I had some other interviews. I had interviewed her parents for the show before I ever even heard about her. Her parents, Julie Carrick is actually a well-known Christian singer, and her husband have an amazing story to tell about how their marriage almost came to an end, and there's a lot more to that I'd go into. But then I found out about Adel, and when she found out she was pregnant, she didn't even think about having an abortion because she had been brought up in a family where that wasn't an option, and you know, she made that courageous decision to keep her child. But what made the story even more impressive was that when she was pregnant, she became very, very ill to the point where the doctor said, it's either you or the baby. You need to get rid of that baby because she had some heart failure problems. And once again, I just couldn't believe the strength of this young girl at the time. I think she was maybe 19 or 20. And she said, no, I want to give this baby the chance to live because this baby did nothing wrong. It's not the baby's fault that this happened in such a terrible way. And, you know, if I'm going to be the mother of this baby, I'm going to be the mother as long as I can. And I just thought, when I was speaking with her on the phone, and as you know, when you interview people and you hear their voices, it was just, I could hear a pin drop in my own heart. I just thought, could I have done that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, if the doctor said to me, we think that you are going to go into cardiac arrest if you keep that child within you another week. And Adel basically said, that's okay if that's what happens. But this baby's not ready to come out. I'm going to give it the best chance that it can possibly have to live. And, you know, there was a happy ending because she did deliver a healthy baby boy. And I spoke with her when I called her to follow up and make sure it was okay to use her story in the book. And she's now working with a, I think it's a Franciscan group out in the West, where she volunteers some of her time, and then she also has a part-time paid job, and she is so happy. She said, I'm the happiest person that I think I could have ever been. And her little boy, I think, is about 4 years old now. And she had just gone through so much, you know, in between that time, there had been other things that happened. She had gotten married and it didn't work out, and she had an abusive relationship, but she's just like, this was the right decision. This was it. I listened to God throughout all of this, and her story is just right up there with one of those that I will never forget, ever.
Well, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, this book that we're talking about is called Moved by Faith. It's by Judy Zarek, a producer for American Catholic Radio. Probably many of you have heard her either on Catholic radio stations or through the podcast mechanism that so many of us use. That's where I get the feed every week. And, you know, these stories are like 2 or 2.5 pages long, so they're easy to take in, and a lot of great movement of heart and faith is waiting for those who get this book. It is from St. Anthony Messenger Press. And Judy, any other stories that you want to mention before we wrap up our time together?
You know, one of the other stories is, they're not all like these incredibly dramatic stories. There are some. There's a story about a man who literally lost his entire family in a flash flood, and how he continued to have faith throughout that. But one of the stories that to me is was another really moving story is a woman named Patricia Edding, and she's just a retired nurse. She takes all the time that she has and all the money that she has to make trips to Haiti, and so she utilizes her nursing ability. She goes to Haiti. She works with Father Frechette, if any of your listeners have heard about him. Just doing the kinds of things that I think there's only a few people in this world, special people, that can do this, which is to help bury the dead. There are so many people in Haiti who have died. And we've kept in touch over the years after I've spoken with her, because her biggest plea was, we need money for body bags. I mean, we just, something as simple as that, you know, and she'll spend her every vacation time that she has, any kind of spare moment. She's been there about 18 times or so, either sitting with the babies at the Mother Teresa house or working with Father Frechette, basically going to the morgue and just picking up these bodies, giving them, you know, the dignity and respect and a burial. And I think, and when she comes home, I think she's in Florida. When she comes home, she spends time with the homeless there in her own area. She goes to a hospice house and spends time with people who are dying. And she knows that that's her calling. She knows that that's a gift that not everybody has, to be able to spend time, to be present to people who are in the last stages of life. And I just think that's beautiful. And her story is in there. I mean, I could just go on. I just, like I said, I think somebody that would pick up this book would find many, many of these stories that would just really move your heart. And one of my best compliments somebody told me about the book was they said, you know, I was going to just pick up it and read one because they're so short and I couldn't stop. You know, I had to keep reading. Or they pick it up when, you know, when everybody goes to the bathroom and they have a short amount of time, or right before they go to bed, and it's the perfect time to just get a small bit of inspiration. And, you know, who doesn't need that? We all need that a lot.
Well, our tagline for our podcast for 3 years has been Nourish Your Faith from A to Z. And, boy, that's what you've been about for a longer period of time. And these stories are nourishment for our Catholic faith, for Christian hearts. And we really want to thank you a lot for taking the time from a busy schedule with Franciscan Media to come onto our show.
Well, thank you so much. And I love listening to your podcast as well. I've been back to your site several times since I first found out about it. And it's doing a great job as well. I mean, I just love that we're all out there spreading this good news out there, because it's making, you know, we've got to make everybody realize how wonderful this message is, because we don't want to keep it a secret.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Judy Zurich, for coming on our show, and we'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you. I'll do the same.
How great it was, once again, to spend time with Judy Zurich. Dear, whether she brings her family or not, how about if we invite them over to dinner? Okay, I'll do the cooking.
I can make a big lasagna.
I know. Everybody loves...
I can't make anything else, but I can make that.
Judy, you're a dear, and thank you for your great attitude about coming on Catholic Vitamins.
And speaking of Judy, we have one of her books here we are going to use as a giveaway. We're going to run this until the end of the month, about the 28th of this month of October.
Okay. Moved by Faith.
Moved by Faith, Stories from American Catholic Radio. Anybody wants that, call the feedback line.
206-350-3789.
Or send us an email.
CatholicVitamins@gmail.com.
And just say Judy's book.
Okay. I have two things to say about Marianne. I hope she's still listening. Do you think she's still listening? I hope she is. First of all, Mariana sent us a picture when she was, I don't know what the official title would be, I'll call it a junior deputy with a certain Illinois police agency. She looks like she might have been 17 or 18.
Yes, she does. Very young.
Gosh. And
it's a cute picture.
It is. It's very cute. And we're going to put that picture on our blog page. We're going to use Judy Zurich's picture, obviously, for this main show picture. But if you would like to see what Mariana looked like when she was about 17 or 18, under 5 feet in height. And did she have a sidearm on in that picture?
I don't know if you could see that or not. I don't know. I don't remember.
Very, very cute. And then our friend Candy Bridges, who did that book, Meet Me in the Mountains, she used to be a sheriff's associate deputy or some title like that. And we have a picture of her that we've seen when she was a deputy. So, and
we shared this about Mariana with her. And she goes, oh my gosh, Mariana's as short as I am.
All right. Second thing related to Mariana. Hi, Deacon Tom and Dee. Just listened to Catholic Vitamins. Wonderful. Speaking of the last show that we did, the prior show. The sisters sounded so joyful and peace-filled, very comforting. Love all the musicians, too, and Bruges McKenna, Sister Bruges McKenna. Of course, nice to hear your lively prattle, as always. Thank you. We'll give you a raise. Still in recovery over here. It's all in our chest today. They were struggling with the flu. But I think since then, they've had some chicken soup, and I think they're getting better. So thank you for your note, Mariana. Anything else right now?
Yes, since we just made the announcement about Judy's book, we also are going to let everybody know that we are giving away Catherine Valentine's books to Brenda in Illinois and Susan in Florida.
All right, great. Thank you for participating, and thank you for listening to Catholic Vitamins. And Fergal, all the way from Ireland, is with us, and he has a reflection on learning.
The Earl of Cambridge once quipped, "Wear your learning like a watch, and do not pull it out merely to show you have it. If you are asked for the time, tell it, but do not proclaim it hourly unasked." Isn't there a clear message in there as to how we should live our lives as Catholic Christians? Ever since our baptism, right through school, in family, and from the many good relationships we have experienced to date, we have been learning about Jesus, his church, and the message of truth and love for the whole world. Now, few of us will be called to verbally expound upon it publicly at regular intervals, but we are all called to demonstrate what we have learned through our way of life, through our everyday actions. Since our actions are simply a physical manifestation of what we have learned, if we have had Jesus at the core of our actions, then we will be motivated by love. Our learning, no matter how lofty, is of little avail if it is not moulded and formed by love. Knowledge without wisdom makes it difficult to descend from the clouds to deal with the mundane and the ordinary, and so it keeps us rigid and sealed and unopen to adventure and correction. As a result, one takes on the appearance of a soul who is perhaps cold and aloof. Wisdom, on the other hand, sees no difference between teaching and learning, and in every circumstance strives to impact positively on the life of another for the benefit of the whole world. St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that, "Though I command languages both human and angelic, if I speak without love, I am no more than a gong booming or a cymbal clashing. And though I have the power to prophesy, to penetrate all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all the faith necessary to move mountains, if I am without love, I am nothing." Love is a very necessary ingredient in the life of every learner, because it strives only for truth. It was this very truth that formed the lives and actions of the first Christians to the point where onlookers were heard to say, "See how they love one another." All that mattered was that each of the saints learned to treat one another well according to the dignity of being made in the image and likeness of God, of being a child of God. This example led others to seek out and learn the truth, the very truth that Jesus proclaimed would set us free. That challenge of searching for and learning the truth remains, and as ever before, requires courage, patience, and openness to overcoming our own prejudices and preconceived notions. Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, "It is easy to find truth. It is hard to face it, and harder still to follow it." This is where the Catholic Church comes in. God designed us to desire and seek the truth. He provided a special way to help us to find it. The Catholic Church, comprised of saints and sinners and everyone in between, has been established by God to show us the way to truth and help us to get to heaven. Next Thursday, the Holy Father will inaugurate a year of faith with an invitation to an authentic and renewed conversion to the Lord, the one Saviour of the world. He hopes it will inspire in all believers the aspiration to profess the faith in fullness and with renewed conviction, with confidence and with hope. Pope Benedict XVI points to two things for our attention, the Creed and the Catechism, and he urges us to learn afresh that it is by believing with the heart that we are justified, and by making the declaration with our lips that we are saved. And so we pray that the year of faith will lead all believers to learn, to relearn, or to rediscover the richness of the faith, so that our way of living will be synchronized with our faith.
Well, that little bumper music coming out of Fergal's reflection is called Soaring, and I tell you, I think when he is ordained, he is going to just absolutely soar as a deacon and soar in the Catholic faith and help lead others to a deeper practice of their faith.
I love it when we hear from listeners.
Yes.
And I got an email from Brenda in Illinois, and I just found it interesting that she put at the bottom of her email this time that she's in the Peoria Diocese, and it's the home of Fulton Sheen.
Servant of God, Fulton J. Sheen.
I'd love to be able to say that about my diocese. She also put in for a guest for our vitamin this time. Oh, and then we heard from somebody named Noelle, and she was writing in about the last podcast with Sister Grace, Sister Emily.
I think that's a new name, isn't it?
It is. To me, it is. And part of her email said that she first met the servants of the Pierced Heart of Jesus and Mary in the Diocese of Peoria at the John Paul II Catholic Newman Center. It was their witness of love that inspired me to strive to holiness. I'm very blessed and grateful to call them family. Thanks for letting me share that.
All right. Thank you for your feedback. And we haven't had an Ask the Deacon segment in a little while, and I got a question. Deacon Tom, I would like to surprise my husband with a trip to Sicily. How about if you take a chaplain along with you?
And his wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Yes. Excuse me. I'd like to surprise my husband with a trip to Sicily and have his uncle, who is a deacon, to renew our wedding vows. I'm not sure if he can actually renew them or does a priest need to, and he can only stand by on the side. It would mean so much to have him be able to, because he wasn't able to make it to our wedding in 1987. Thank you, and that's signed Judy. Well, Judy, the answer is that a deacon receives faculties from a bishop, and the faculties usually include, almost always include, faculties for performing the sacraments that a deacon can do, which is baptisms and witnessing weddings in certain circumstances. And we could also do like renewal of vows. So I'm sure that your uncle will be able to do that. Although I will say that your uncle probably works in a parish. And if you were going to do that in his parish or your parish, that he would probably want to ask his pastor. Just common protocol, because the pastor is the chief shepherd in the parish. What have you got there?
It's time for us to do Vita Scrabble, I think.
Okay.
Vita Scrabble for next time.
All right.
Vitamin M. Ends in Y.
Another slam dunk.
Five letters.
I know.
So easy.
Really. So send an email. We gave the address a little while ago, or call our feedback line. And Dee will put your name or contact information into a basket, and we'll draw a name for a Vita Scrabble winner.
And our winner for vitamin L, learning,
yes,
was Chris from the Life on Fire podcast.
Hey, really? One of our fellow podcasters. Hey, a little while ago I played some music by John Sarta. He is a great musician and composer, and he plays blues, and he plays a lot of Catholic music. We played before You Are Mine, a great Catholic or Christian hymn, and we'll close the show with We Remember, and this is from his album, The Catholic Music Project.
Speaking of blues.
Yes.
Have I told you how much I'm enjoying my Sirius XM
I don't want to radio hear about it.
In the
I don't
car?
Want to hear about it.
And I have a blues channel locked in.
Hey, really? Well, I used to have it when I was in charge, but somehow you've gotten a hold of that, and I don't have it anymore.
Oh, and I wanted to say that I have two things before we go out, but first thing is...
We already did prattle.
Well, we're going to prattle some more.
Okay.
We like to prattle.
I know.
We started out the podcast telling everybody you were going to do Blessing of the Animals.
Oh, yes.
So we took a break in the middle of recording this, and we went and did... You went and did the Blessing of the Animals.
Mm-hmm.
I took Bandit. Ooh, he's looking again.
Yeah.
I took Bandit. And I think in the 5 years we've been here, I think it's the biggest crowd we've had.
There were a lot of people, and generally speaking, it was controlled chaos, just like our daughter said.
That's right. There was one dog, and I was on the other side of this crowd, and I couldn't see the dog, but I could hear this dog that just kept going, barking.
Yeah.
Every 2 minutes, barking. Drowning you out.
Would you say there was 25 or 30 people there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily. And some of them had two dogs in tow. And
yeah, there were birds. I told the people as we were getting started, I said, I'd like all the Catholic animals to line up on the right side. Made everybody laugh.
So anyhow, we took some pictures. Maybe we should put a picture up on the Friends page.
All right. I think we can do that, sure.
And before we go, as I have been doing, I wanted to plug a couple more SQPN affiliate podcasts. And the next one I'm going to talk about is Catholic Pilot. Although Captain Jeff has not been doing many Catholic Pilot episodes recently, he's a commercial airline pilot, as you know, mm-hmm. and he's kind of switched over to something called Airplane Pilot Guy, which deals a little more with airline. I think he thinks he's reaching more audience that way, but I miss Captain Jeff, if you're listening, I miss the Catholic Pilot.
Okay.
And then there is the Jimmy Akin podcast.
Oh, yes.
We've had Jimmy as a guest on our show.
We sure have. He's a great apologist for the church.
Lino at Large.
Oh, yes.
Maybe we should get Lino on.
That would be a lot of fun.
That would be a lookout.
Yes, I know.
Train wreck, maybe. I've been listening to him on my Sirius XM radio,
oh, my
too.
Heavens. Okay.
And then one more, just because we met Deborah the other day. Deborah Shaven, who was passing through Payson. She has the iPilgrim podcast, along with co-hosts Steve and Sandy.
Great.
And that particular podcast deals mostly with the pilgrimage over in Spain, the Camino, which was the inspiration for that movie, The Way, which we just watched recently. I really like that.
Yeah, I did too. All right. Well, don't forget, Justin and Lynette are going to be on EWTN. If you're listening to this early enough, this coming Thursday, October 11th. And they'll be on EWTN's Life on the Rock. Dear, do we have anything else that we should do or have to do before we say goodbye?
I can't think of anything, but I always think of something after we say goodbye. But
all right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to Judy Zarek. You were very kind to Catholic Vitamins. And we sure do enjoy your work and Father Friedman and all the others at American Catholic Radio.
Amen.
Blessings.
Bye.
From A to Z. Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will, through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land, grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.